Coming up on TMS PM, I have the floor.
And I weigh in.
And what about that endgame?
Tabletop game talk with Dan and your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM. It's the PM edition of the morning stream for December 7th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Oh, shit. I
just remembered it, too. Brave O'Bright mentioned it in the chat room. I'm like, oh, yeah, we were going to unveil.
I forgot you picked yours up. Okay. So we're going to unveil something pretty rad. Oh my gosh, the hat you're wearing. Amazing. All right, so here's the Scott doll. Got a little horde.
Dude, that is awesome.
Little horde symbol down here, which is kind of cool. Now, you might look at these two things, look at Brian's again, and you'd say, oh, someone made you dolls, how quaint. Yeah, no, there's more to it than that. First of all, the likenesses are ridiculous. I love them.
Fantastic likenesses, yeah. There's so much gray in my beard, it made me pause.
And she gave you red headphones.
Yes.
And gave me white ones. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's so detailed, it's insane. Now,
and
here's the
funny
hat. Yeah, now here's the special part. Here, let me turn this down so you don't you don't hear it. And this is the part I didn't expect, but this doll, I'm going to hold it up to the thing here. When you push the little M on the TMS in the on the earphone, listen to this.
I don't like people who fart when they pee.
All right, that's awesome. All right, you ready for that?
Yeah, put it up on the thing.
I had the best prep session.
And the best part is they're reprogrammable. If you want to go in and change what it is, there's a little instruction in there how to do it. But
that's so cool. I don't ever want to change it.
I don't want to change it either because I really don't like it when people fart when they pee. I really don't. Yeah. So I'm going to have that stay there. But this was, and apparently the other two film sack guys got one as well. And we're going to make a big deal on them on film sack tomorrow again. But I mean, she even got my like yellow tinted, like gunner style glasses going.
She totally did.
Like went so detailed in my big dumb hair. Look, I would like to point out, she put the mole on the forehead. Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
Stupid freaking mole. It's right there.
So if you ever have that taken off, you got to have it taken off in both places.
Yeah. Or I'll just a little white out on there. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
How cool are these? These are the coolest things we've ever gotten.
Yeah, these are so awesome.
Yeah, I love them. So thank you for these. And
I've got a Coverville T-shirt with the Coverville cursive logo.
Look at that. It's so good. And you're wearing a dumb hat and a wacky shirt. It's it's Ibbett, like 100% you.
What does it say about Tina? The first thing she did. Was after she looked at this, we're both laughing like, oh my god, this is so great. First thing she did is lift up my shirt and look at the buttons and act like she was about to unbutton my pants.
I don't know. It says something though, doesn't it?
She's really gonna be really happy that I mentioned.
Because Kim just grabbed it and started punching it in the crotch as hard as she could.
Okay, well I guess.
Yeah, something's up. I don't know. Maybe it brings out the worst in them. But Rainbow Bright, you are our hero for the week.
Absolutely.
Coolest thing ever. I don't even know what to say, except tomorrow.
I can't wait to see what Dunaway's and Randy Jordan's look like, and Jerry apparently got one as well.
Yep. Here's what the little tag says. It says handmade on one side, and on the other side it says by Desiree Day, a.k.a. Rainbow Bright, TMS fan 2018. Nicest thing ever. Also a very nice note. A nice note for Kim was in there. Just a very sweet thing in general. And I'm going to treasure this dude forever.
Absolutely.
And I'll play this every day.
We don't just like them, Rainbow Bright. We love them.
Oh, we love them, dude. More than like them.
Yeah.
I like them.
And seriously, when I'm gone on vacation, we don't need to worry about getting Steven or Jerry or anybody like that to sit in.
Yeah.
I'll actually just prop this guy up right here.
Mm-hmm. And every answer to every question will just be that same statement.
Exactly.
About had a good crap session. Yeah. So I'll say, Brian, what do you think of this weird lady in Florida? I had the best crap session last night. And I'll say, yeah, I know, right? And then we'll move on. It'll be good. We got it. We got this.
You have a song for the middle? Yep. I have the best crap session.
Yeah. Did Walking Glitch, in case you missed it. Sorry, somebody missed it. I'll play it one more time. Here you go.
I don't like people who fart when they pee.
That's it. I don't like people that fart when they pee. It's amazing. I love it. I can't say enough about it.
And they also smell lovely.
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah. What's that about? I don't know, but they
why do they smell so good? Rainbow Bright, what'd you do to make it smell good? What'd you do?
You put something in the, is there potpourri in there or something? It smells absolutely lovely.
Yeah, it's really nice. You get stuff from, like, China and it stinks. This is like, not that.
Right.
Unlike versions.
Unlike a Switch cartridge, I wanted to lick this.
Hey, maybe your wife and my wife thought that these were like voodoo dolls. And so if they, if she got frisky with yours or if Kim punched mine, it would have an effect. I don't know. Just thought of that.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, all right then. All's well now because of these. And it's actually been very nice to have something goofy like this around because it has been chaos in my house. I'm so sick of it. I know people with real problems are all over the place, and I don't want to be Mr. Complainer Man, but gosh dang it, I'm not good at this home improvement stuff. I'm bad at it. So people who are good at it are very nicely helping. You might hear a screw during the show, like a zzzz upstairs, and it's because somebody's up there doing some work, and that's great. That's Steve up there kicking butt and taking names, and that's awesome. And he's good at it, and Sarah's here, and Kim's got the shop vac out because they just tore out some more carpet. It's all good. I just feel like chaos is around me. And every time I go upstairs, I'm like, bah! And then when I have actual work to do, I feel bad that I'm not up there doing it right then. Ah. It's just one of those feelings. And then tonight, we're supposed to go to this game thing up at the university. So we have to leave all this, go up there and do that for Carter, come back, and then do more of it. And then somehow fit film sack in. I know,
you're
dude.
It's going to be stressing and stressing. This is why cats hate when you rearrange the furniture. It's like, no, this isn't right. This is not the way it was when I went into the, when I went to sleep last night or when I took a nap downstairs. Why has everything changed? This isn't right.
Yeah, this is as close as I get to cat-like reflexes. That's what I got right now.
Yeah.
A cat-like reflex.
Right.
It just happens to be the reflex of like hating it when people move stuff around. Yeah. But it'll be great when it's done, of course, you know. It'll
of course,
be like,
love it.
Look at this awesome thing we did. It's cool that we did it. And everything else, but right now I am not in that mode at all.
Now, you mentioned on Skim that you're looking for, like, really unusual, good holiday music. Different holiday music, not the same old schluck.
Yeah, like, stuff that, I mean, Kim and I are both in agreement about those songs that you and I don't like either. Like the Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time and some of the others. So, what we want is, we're fans of the classics, but we want something that's, like, new, different, out there, trippy, cool.
And I know you're familiar with the See a Christmas album that came out last year, the year before, that's not covers, but just original See a Christmas songs.
Yeah, we have
good.
That in the rotation. Those are all good.
I'm going to tell you about another one that is a favorite around here. This one always comes up every year.
Okay.
Because it is, again, it's completely different. It's Mark Mothersbaugh released a Christmas album called Joyeux Mutato.
Wait, Mothersbaugh is a dude from
Devo.
Devo, right.
Devo, yep.
Okay.
And it is very Devo. But it's very Christmas. It's a very strange combination, but it's fantastic.
Yeah,
oh, did you know that Mark Mothersbaugh did the music for Thor Ragnarok?
No.
I guess I might have known that.
I didn't know that at all.
Huh.
I don't know why I didn't know that, but I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, here he is. It's called Mutato. Is that it?
Yeah, Joyeux Mutato.
Joyeux Mutato. It's a wonderful phrase. Sounds like we're doing that thing from
Hakuna totally
Matata.
Does, yeah.
But all right. And tell me about it. Is it covers? Like, what is it?
It's excellent. It is. No, it's all originals. It's all unique. Well, 90% of the songs on here are originals. You might think that they're covers because some of them are like Rudolph the Space Deer, Peace and Goodwill, Only 12 Shopping Days Left, Happy Woodchopper, Tannenbaum.
Tannenbaum, nice.
Tannenbaum. And the there's a cover-ish of, what is it? It's Silent Night. But it's more like a remix of Silent Night than a cover.
Okay.
Anyway, it's absolutely worth checking out. It's really, really good.
He also did the Lego movie, says Chat. Wow.
He did, yeah.
I didn't know this about him at all. Is he still whipping it? Whipping it good, do you think?
He might be. Mm. He might be whipping it less quickly. But, oh, geez. Yeah, where'd this go all of a sudden?
Well, I remember there was a time when I was a kid where my parents were hesitant to let me listen to Devo because everybody was telling them that Whip It Good was, or Whip It, the song, was all about masturbation, see? And I remember hearing that going, right. Come on, Mom, no it isn't. It's about whipping stuff with a whip, or, you know, I didn't know what it was.
Right. And, well, fine, Mom, I'll just go back to listening to Turning Japanese by The Vapors.
Yep, there you go.
Or Blister in the Sun by The Violent Femmes. Yep. There's no end to the number of songs that have been written about masturbation.
Yeah, there's tons of them. Yeah, like, I was going to make a bad joke, and I'm not going to do it now. Hey, so there it
anyway,
is.
So go listen to that. It's a great Christmas album.
Does it feel Christmassy, or do I feel like I'm just listening to a freaky thing?
No, it's absolutely Christmassy.
All right. I like Christmassy.
The only time I can listen to that album is the holiday season, but it's not. You're not going to hear Let It Snow. You're not going to hear Baby It's Cold Outside. You're not going to hear the 12 excruciatingly long days of Christmas.
Hate that song, too.
Every artist that does a cover of the 12 Days of Christmas
should
offer on their album, MP3 version, album, disc, whatever, offer one that's the full 12 Days of Christmas, and then offer just starting on day 12.
Just jump, skip it. Ahead is like skipping levels in a game you've already beat. Yeah.
The exception is Bob and Doug McKenzie, but that's the only exception.
I was going to say, too, the Great White album has this, or the Great White North album has this, it's amazing because it's got Geddy Lee in it, and it's this weird freaking thing, and it's funny, and like it's the only one I can handle. It's it.
Yeah. It's the only as far one. As comedy albums, you mean?
Yeah. No, as far as that song or covers of it.
Oh, the other. Yeah. Well, Geddy doesn't appear on the 12 Days of Christmas. He's only on Take Off.
I thought he did part.
Take Off. Are you sure? Turn a great one. No.
Are you sure he didn't do part of it? I swear at the
positive.
End he did.
I just listened to it. I just listened to it a minute ago, and there's no Geddy Lee.
Oh, I thought there was some Geddy Lee. I'm mixing it up with the Great White North song then. Which was also cool. It's a great album.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it totally is.
It's funny as hell. There's some stuff on there. It's really good, like really funny, I guess. Unless you don't like Bob and Doug McKenzie, and then we probably won't like it, but I like it.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Also, so,
Yeah.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I was going to say I did my weigh-in today with AJ, the Justine Bateman lookalike.
Oh, yeah.
The older Justine Bateman lookalike.
How'd it go?
So I'm always really cautious about going in there on weigh-in day. I don't eat breakfast that morning. Like, I go there at 8:15, mm-hmm. and I figure, all right, I'll eat breakfast afterwards, which is exactly what I did. Went in there without breakfast. Really hoped I could have used the bathroom before I went in again.
Sure, trying to maximize your results. I get it.
Exactly, like one more reduction. I am proud to say that I've lost another 5.1 pounds.
Yeah! Sticking to those points, son.
That's right, exactly. 20 and a half pounds total since I started doing this at the beginning of November.
That's great, so, dude.
Yeah.
20? That's really all I need to lose. That's great. Seriously.
Yep.
You feel like you're getting your money's worth too, don't you?
I do feel like I'm getting my money's worth. It's great.
Oh, I may have to do this. You know what I'm really stressed about? It's the thing that you're stressed about, but you're facing it, and that's the weigh-in day.
Yeah.
That is the
big difference between just getting the Lose It app or one of those apps where you track everything you eat and this situation, because you are weighing in. Now, you could replace the going to Weight Watchers deal with having to report every week on TMS.
Oh, we could do that.
Your accountability. But there could be no fudging the numbers, Scott.
Yeah.
Whatever it says on that dial is what you need to say on the show.
Well, like, that's the hard bit, is the whole thing has to be the honor system, and it has to be, there's the self-discipline involved with making sure that you treat your weigh-in just as sacredly as you do your one with Justine Bateman. You know what I mean?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, all right. Let's actually try this. Let's try something.
Okay, all right.
This is the only way I'm going to do this, too, so this is good. Let's start today. From today until Christmas, I'm going to be adamant about calorie tracking, not snacking, cutting down bread, all the stuff you do. I'll go recommended diets in this direction, and I will track it and do all my hooch so that when we will have a weigh-in mm-hmm. next Friday and then...
The following Friday.
And so we've following Friday, I'm not here, though. I'm in...
Oh, okay.
I'm somewhere. We're doing a little mini trip before Christmas because that's the 22nd.
Okay, cool.
Isn't that the 22nd?
Yeah, the 22nd. Well, the 22nd is Saturday, but 21st is Friday.
I think I don't know yet. I'll let everybody know. But one way or the other, even if it's
at some point the day before, well, I assume we'll have at least one show that week.
Oh yeah, and we'll do you know, like Thursday for sure. So we can just do it a day earlier or something. But
just do it on Thursday.
I'll weigh in, and then we'll just compare these, and I'll bet you still kick my butt. But I'll bet because I have TMS as my hold me to the grindstone. I'll bet I do better.
That is the thing. It's the accountability. The tracking is 40% of it. The accountability is the other 60%.
So 20 pounds, though, do you feel like you're just kind of jogging around now going, woo, I'm light as a feather? Like, how does it feel?
I do. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I look at myself in the mirror coming out of the shower, and it's like, holy cow, the gut is definitely noticeably gone. Or not gone, but reduced.
Reduced, yeah.
Reduced.
You and I are both... you know, gut guys. So
we are gut guys.
That's where we like to get rid of it. All right. I'm into it. I'm into this.
The arse is big too on me there, too. The arse.
I have no butt. None. Not in a good way. It's like Hank Hill's butt. You ever seen Hank Hill's animated
butt?
Right,
where the pants just kind of go just like straight down. Mm-hmm. Like
and once
you
in a while,
suffer from no acetal.
Right. And sometimes he'll have no pants because he got caught in the shower or something. And they'll show his little white butt with his tan lines. And that's my butt.
Right.
It's totally my butt. I got it from my dad.
No, this baby's got some back. I've got back.
You've got back. Brian's baby has back.
I'm somewhere between Hank Hill and Nicki Minaj is where I'm at. On the scale.
Wow, that is the whole scale, though. That's the entire thing.
That is the whole scale, right? There's nobody on the outside of that scale.
Yeah, it's like saying I live somewhere between the North and South Pole on this earth.
Exactly.
Very nice. All right. Well done. It's inspiring. I feel like a slacker, so I'm gonna try to do this, and hopefully other people are getting excited or getting their own little bit of inspiration. The Avengers 4 trailer landed this morning. Watched it before the instance and loved it. And I assume you did too.
I did too.
A little dark, yeah? A little bit dark, maybe?
Yeah, but what else could they do? I mean, they can't... This is the one time they really just can't launch a funny, hey, underoos kind of trailer. And they still managed to stick a little bit of the funny in at the very end. Yeah. But they do a good job of being dark without being depressing.
Yeah, it does feel like, okay, they've got some kind of plan. This isn't easy. Yes. They're going to figure it out. I want to know what happened to Captain America's beard. I get questions about that.
It's half gone.
Half gone, yeah. He only has half a beard now. Yeah. Half of all his body hair removed. That's what happened there. But, I want to see that movie in April when it comes out.
Yeah,
which
for
is
sure.
Sooner than I thought. I didn't think it would be April. But,
dude, I know, right? Yeah, that's right, because they were talking May, but now is it?
It's early.
It's early, okay, wow.
Yeah, what I read was April. It's at the end of the thing. And, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but somebody shows up I'm super stoked to see is okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, two people do. So you didn't see before, and you went, oh, where are they at? Now we know, and they're good.
Well, we knew one of them, at least if that's the one we're talking about, we knew one of them was okay because in their movie,
yeah.
We know he's around, but the other people aren't.
Oh, I haven't seen that one you're talking about, so I didn't know this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's interesting. Well, no, it's not a spoiler to me. I'm fine. But like, and then also we don't know what role, because remember Avengers 1 ended with kind of a hanging in the air thing with Captain Marvel. What are we going to do with her? Now she's getting her own movie. Right. It's set in the 90s. We don't know what her role is in this, but we know she's got one.
She's definitely got one. And I imagine that she's, she's going to be instrumental, I think, in the solution. Whatever the solution is, I think it's going to be.
Yeah,
she's going to be instrumental.
You're going to have your brie. Everyone's going to have brie cheese for lunch from Brie Larson.
There's going to be a lot of brie. It's going to stink in that movie with all the brie.
Man, brie does stink in large quantities. Anyway.
I mean, it's okay to say who we saw in there, right? It's a trailer. It's not like.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. We saw Ant-Man and we saw
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. And
Hawkeye
looked like Ronin.
But the cool thing about Hawkeye, he's in his Ronin uniform.
Yeah, he looked like Ronin.
A lot of people aren't going to know what that is. So it works on two levels. You look at it and go, oh, it's his Ronin thing. And then other people look at it and go, oh, he looks like a ninja samurai man. It's, it works either way. Either way, it's exciting. Yeah,
exactly.
Didn't see a whole lot of some other stuff. There's a few other people.
You had a lot of Tony. You had a lot of Tony at the beginning.
Yeah, lots of Tony, because, of course.
Right, and we know Banner's okay. He's swiping left.
Yeah, swiping left.
He's got virtual Tinder going.
Yeah, he actually was swiping left. That's funny. I'm very excited. So bring it on. April can't get here soon enough. It'll be interesting because we saw that at TMS Vegas last year.
We did. It was during TMS Vegas. We went to the theater that's a block away. We saw it in the afternoon before. Mm-hmm. Before the event? Or no, was it the day after?
Day of the event, I think. Or day of the concert bar stuff.
Yeah, right.
I think so. Because I just remember that was the last time we saw Hammond's wife. She was like, all right, I've seen the movie. Pew! Right, exactly. And she was out of there. Yep. Slots
are calling.
The nice comfy bed in the MGM is calling.
Right.
Don't need whatever you guys are up to all night. And, you know, I mean, I don't blame her. It's fine. But yeah, that movie was great. Maybe that'll happen again. Who knows?
Maybe.
All right. Well, this is all well and good.
Yes, exactly. And it is time for you to buck up and see the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie.
I'm just behind. I don't know what my problem is. I want to.
Jeez.
I have no reason not to. Just been,
chilling. Don't know how you can wait.
I know. Now I can't wait to see it.
You can't wait.
Dan the Tabletop Man is joining us now in his darkened room because the sun goes down too early.
Sun goes down at like 3 o'clock around here. It's crazy.
What's your take on daylight saving? We're not saving anything. Why are we doing it? What's it for? What's the point?
So, I don't know. I have the hashtag unpopular opinion on daylight savings because I'm one of these people that I want my summers to be hot. I want my winters to be cold, and I'm fine with it being dark in the winter because I enjoy the hell out of all the sun in the summer. Mm. So when it's the winter, fine. Indoor sports.
Right.
You know, use your own imagination what that means.
Right.
But
or don't.
Or don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine with it because I like, I really like it when it's cold and it snows. But then it's, you know, the good thing about Carolina is like the second spring hits, usually it's like, all right, summer.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm with you. And I do like the change when it goes back. It feels good, but it's artificial good. I don't know.
Right.
Well, see, I mean, right now we're in standard time. We're not in daylight savings time now. So you'd still get your early dark indoor sports.
Well, not as much though. Whenever. So like when the time goes back, it still gets dark earlier. It just doesn't get dark as earlier.
Yeah. But eventually in the summer, like we get around July and everything's like, it's 9 o'clock and there's still some sun out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's a good time, man. I love the summertime when it's like that. Why can't we just do that all year? Just do that. Let's have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't need
it. But then, like, when you're trying to do your indoor sports, it's still light out, and nobody wants to do indoor sports when it's light out.
No. Can't do water sports then either. Hey, I found a clip. This will be your intro today. Hold on.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
All right. There's your new intro. It's a very old clip. I don't know where I got it. But
wow.
A long time ago. Accurate.
Nice. So Brian, congrats on losing all that weight, man.
Jeez.
Thanks.
Can you believe
that's awesome. I know exactly where it went.
Yeah.
Right here, baby.
Yeah.
Did it go across the country?
Yeah, it went all the way over to me.
Yeah. I got to get
hard when.
I got to get on it. I lost so much weight before. I don't know why I'm here now. I hate it.
And we're getting again into the toughest time of year because it's Christmas. I mean, Thanksgiving was a tough hurdle. Christmas is going to be another one because what do you do around Christmas? You bake a lot of freaking cookies. I made some meringues today, bake them in the oven for 3 hours meringues, which came out really good, I got to say. Mm. Good thing is they're all egg white and sugar, so they're actually only a point on the Weight Watchers scale.
Nice. Did you make them knowing that?
Yes.
That was part of it?
I actually made it using a recipe from the Weight Watchers app. So it's like, meringues? Cool. I've never made meringue. And I've been watching British baking show for whatever, 6 or 7 seasons, 8 seasons, however many it's been.
See, I've got a theory. I think you've learned to gamify everything, and that's why this is working for you, because you're really good at doing that. Like, look at the Pokemon Go stuff. Look at your quiz stuff that you do. Look at all that kind of stuff. It's the gamification of otherwise hard to do things.
Mundane, difficult,
well,
sure.
Well, there's a lot to that whole gamification of everything, because they find that even schoolwork, if you do schoolwork with gamification, they're bringing it more into the classroom. Mm-hmm. Gamification of everything just makes people not realize they're doing what they're doing. So working out with gamification, I mean, think about, what is that whole Peloton thing?
Yeah.
You know, because they're trying to make those things fun, and you know, you're looking at something, or people will do, will have some different games when they're on, you know, other bikes and things like that. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, did I really just ride 10 miles? I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just have to think like that more, because I always feel like I'll try that, and then whatever the thing is I'm doing that's mundane or hard that I'm trying to gamify, it's like I see through it and go, psh, this isn't really a game. This is just supposed to trick me. Like, I get way cynical about it, and I shouldn't. Brian's got to figure it out. I need to follow in his ample footsteps and figure this out.
Very ample. Yeah. They're getting less and less ample, hopefully.
Well, Dan, speaking of medical things, I do have one quick pharmaceutical question.
Oh, love it. Go for it.
Okay. This is maybe a little bit odd and a little off the wagon, but and if you don't know, if you don't have an answer for this, it's okay. But I have this thing where certain medical treatments involve, like, you go in for a colonoscopy and they give you a bunch of crap you got to drink with usually like lemon flavored Gatorade, the standard Gatorade flavor. Now I can't drink that flavor ever again because I associate it with this hideous experience. Same thing goes with like, what was another medically thing that happened recently? Oh, anytime somebody will open up a bag of like Lifesavers and it'll be wintergreen flavor. And all I'm immediately hit was with like, oh my gosh, it's like a Pepto factory just opened up in the house. Because it's the exact same smell as Pepto-Bismol. So do you have any tricks or tips to like get over that crap and not worry about it? Because I wouldn't put one of those in my mouth if you paid me.
Yeah, just use another flavor. That's about it. Because, you know, for the rest of us, and I don't know, I can't, obviously not you, Johnson, but maybe Brian, like whenever you, have you ever gotten, and you know, in our younger days when we drank way too much of something, like so let's just say Maker's Mark, and you just had one of those nights where you drank way too much and you puked and you can't even smell the stuff for the rest of your life. That's kind of the same thing, where now that taste of that kind of Gatorade taste, it kind of wants to give you the runs because your body's like, oh. This is what it's going to make me do. So there's, luckily, a lot of those things, those preps.
Matilda what? What is it?
Matilda Bay is my trigger. Thank God they don't make that anymore.
What is Matilda Bay? I don't know what that
Matilda
is.
Matilda Bay was like a box wine cooler that you could get in the late 80s, early 90s that, boy, this stuff tasted just like fruit juice, but it was super, super potent with alcohol.
Wow. Was it like the old Mad Dog 2020 or whatever that is? That was it, kind of like that?
Kind of, but it was
sweeter.
It was. I mean, it was a box. I mean, it was a box wine, like or a box wine cooler. It came in a box like your box wines, but man, it tasted great. It was really, really good. It tasted like you said, like fruit juice, and you could pound down the stuff without any concerns until the first glass hit, and by that time you were already four glasses in.
Oh my lord!
Because you're drinking Sunny Delight.
And, yeah, that's no good.
Yeah,
no, that was a college thing.
All right, so you're saying,
they say like things like smell and taste, like you have all those memories and stuff, and that's kind of like what it's triggering for you, Johnson, is that particular taste. But the good thing is, like I said, those preps, they've got a lot of different flavors for those things. And a lot of times you can kind of either chase it with something or use another one. But, you know, hopefully you don't have to get your butt, you know, Q-tip too much, from that stuff.
No, I don't want that. Everything. What's funny is Bo Schwartz came to America from Canada. He'd never had the yellow Gatorade. It doesn't exist up there, he says. They just have all the other kind of flavors. It seems weird to me. But anyway, he came down here, had a 16-ounce version of that, I think the year he stayed with you for a bit.
Right.
And he tastes it and he says, "This is the greatest thing I've ever had." I said, "Dude, that's just normal." And he goes, "It's like lemon pie." Like, he was so into it. He couldn't stop drinking it. And he bought a whole case while he was here.
Canada.
Yeah, oh Canada. You guys would need some more Gatorade.
So I played hockey last night. We had a playoff game in beer league hockey, and we played against Epic Games. They've got a team that plays some of them. Yeah, and what's funny is that I keep waiting for them to trot out like these Fortnite jerseys, like these brand spanking new, because obviously they've got the money.
Yeah.
So I keep waiting, but they just have these jerseys that have the nice Epic logo, and they actually have the Unreal engine symbol on the shoulders, which is kind of cool.
Very nice.
But, yeah, they're pretty good. They've won a few championships in our league, but we took them out in a shootout last night, luckily. It's been a while since we've beaten them.
I have a little bit of a love-hate going with them right now because I'm excited about their new store. I think it's good to have that competition. I think that, you know, Fortnite's success has afforded them the ability to do that, and that's all great and all. But I'm mad at them because they announced that they are officially not working actively on that new Unreal tournament that started way before any of this, because Fortnite's taking all their resources. And I'm like, gosh dang it, freaking Fortnite. I love Unreal Tournament, you bastards. Make that thing. Anyway.
You would think it would only cost them just a little bit to throw a little bit of money at Unreal, you know, with all the money they're raking in for that.
Yeah.
For, you know, from Fortnite.
They're eating money. They're getting so much of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dan, let's talk about board games. You got anything?
Sure. So last weekend, it was, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before, there was PAX U, PAX Unplugged, which is in Philly, which could be one day one of these good ideas to get you guys out to, because Philly's a nice, easy airport to get in and out of.
Yeah.
It's a huge tabletop convention that they've done with PAX. And I believe this is the second or third year, but they've now, with their attendance, they've pretty much surpassed Origins as the second biggest, basically mainly tabletop convention. So it's a crazy, really good convention, and it's bringing in a lot of very very low level, like just entry level, and call them low level, we'll call it entry level gamers, because my buddy Chris, who was teaching some things, he had people that had to actually, he had to stop in the middle of the directions instructions, and somebody asked, what's a meeple? So that tells you how, like, people are so new to the hobby. Yeah. So you may have from all people from that to people up, you know, to publishers and people like me that have been in the industry for a long, long time. So it's pretty cool to see PAX bringing that many new people in there. So this is going to just keep growing and growing. And it's so just gaming, you know, board gaming, tabletop gaming based, that it could be a good idea, you know, thinking about time in the future to get a little frog pantsy.
Did you go to it? You were there?
No, okay. I couldn't go to it last week. It's tough around the holidays because I have my charity event is in the middle of November, and then it's the holiday, you know, then it's Thanksgiving. And then we usually have a hockey trip or two. We were actually up in Hampton Roads. Actually, DJ's up in Buffalo as we speak right now. He's playing an outdoor game in Buffalo.
Whoa.
And it's like high of 30. They, you know, it's got a cover thing in case it snows or anything, but it is outdoors, and it's crazy because they're in a tournament this weekend. They won 3-0 this morning, a little shutout for DJ.
Jeez.
And he's got to play tonight against they beat a Canadian team this morning. Now they're playing a Buffalo team tonight outdoors. My poor wife is freezing her buns off, so hopefully she's got enough hand warmers. I couldn't go because I didn't have enough time off from work to get my butt up there. But
yeah, it seems like so much to maintain, and temperature-wise in either direction to keep the playing field.
Yeah.
Good, you know, like the playing field.
The good side, the good thing is that you get really sweaty and hot in a hockey jersey. It's really gross and warm. The kids will be fine. It's your wife.
Oh, yeah, kids will be fine. My poor fellow coaches will be freezing their buns off on the bench over there. But at least people that are watching, they have a nice big bar there, so I'm sure that's what they're doing, or cocoa and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what you do, Brian. Brian has a good point. You get behind the Zamboni where like the little coming out of it, you know, because exhaust, and just go down there and get all cozy down there by the
damn
body.
Warm with that.
Breathe in all the horrible fumes. It's good. Yeah. All right. Well, fantastic.
So I got an actual game for you.
Okay. Let's see what you got.
That's what we do here. Games.
Yep.
Hey, yes. It's Christmas time.
Santa's Workshop.
Santa's Workshop. Okay. This is a really, really good game. It's very light. It's a worker placement game. And this is from anywhere from just anybody's family up to the seasoned veterans of gaming can play this. It's real fun, real easy to learn. Like I said, it's a worker placement. So you're just trying to create the presence. You know, obviously you're working in Santa's Workshop. So you have like the little cards. You have the little cards like here where you're trying to create the different, you know, like a doll or bicycle and things. But you have to use certain types of ingredients, you know, like your cloth or your wood. But what's cool about it, you can actually either just use what you're supposed to use, or you can use plastic. You can substitute plastic to get it quicker, but you're going to, you know, they're going to be cheaper because they're just cheap plastics. So you're going to lose points for using the plastic. And on the board, you're going to be going throughout. You're going to use you have actual little elves. It's very cool here. Your elves.
Yeah.
And they have actual funky names on all different elves. This one here, you've got Twinkle, Fractal, Zephyr, and Blizzer. So, and you can actually train all these, train your elves, and it'll actually get you better. Right. When you put your workers, your elves out, they may get you more ingredients to use, you know, to help you, because they're trained in making, you know, the ingredients a little more, you know, to making the coal or going coal mining and stuff like that. What's really cool, you can actually, you send your elves, they have to go, they can go out. This is kind of a piece of the board here, part of the board. You actually feed the reindeers as well, and you get a little You can get bonuses for going to different reindeer, you know, like Donder and Blitzen. It might give you a little bit extra coal and stuff like that. And what's cool, you know, this is what's really cool also. A lot of good thought went into this board here. When you normally boards just have like the little increments,
yeah,
when you're going from like 65 to 70, but here you actually have all the different cookies. And since the cookies are the same in the same order, it helps you to keep score. That sounds really dumb for anybody that doesn't think about that. But when you're looking at a board and you're like, well, how 8 out of 1, 2, 3? No, but when you look at a board like this, you know, yeah, exactly where 5 is.
Oh yeah.
It's to the, exactly, it's to the next same cookie.
Yeah. Cause you
the
just need,
bread is always the fourth one. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So it's pretty cool like that. Cause like those are the little touches that really go into a really cool game. Yeah. This is out. I mean, it's been out for about a year. It's a real solid game. I would recommend this to anybody. This is a Scott or a Brian game.
Wow. Whoa.
Scott, you'd actually really love this because it's quick and easy. You can learn it in 2 seconds, and it's just a joy to play.
Yeah.
And it's great for those holiday gatherings where part of your family may not have played this type of game before.
Right.
Totally. And it looks like you can reuse this board for Clue if you get tired of the same old mansion.
You probably could.
That's right. We killed Blitzen in the work shed with a coal axe.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
With a coal axe? Is that what you said, a coax?
A coal axe.
Oh, coal axe.
It should probably be like
I'm thinking like a network cable from back cable in the 90s.
Well, yeah, you know, that may be the other thing, the coaxial cable. And,
yeah, the coal axial cable. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, that sounds great. Nice little holiday recommendation from you there. That's pretty good.
I was going to ask you really quick while we've got you, Dan. What have you heard about the 8-bit games box, or the 8-bit box, I guess it's called?
Do you know anything about that? I haven't heard of it.
No. I haven't heard of that.
It looks like, so it's a tabletop game. It looks like a Nintendo, like a we're going to make it look as much like a Nintendo as we can without it being a Nintendo. And it's got a few different games in it that look like cartridges, but you play with like a little handheld card mover and some dice.
Oh yeah, look at that. I can see you now here this.
Yeah, I mean it's like a
it's
a tabletop game that's supposed to evoke the fun of 8-bit video games.
Each console includes 3 board games, 72 wooden cubes, 6 controllers, 5 dice. The box art is awesome. Oh my god.
It's so well done. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's a good company. Yellow is they're good for family games and kind of kids games. They're I believe they're out of France. They do a lot of good games. So these are probably very approachable games. Pixoid, Outspeed, and Stadium.
How's Bunny Kingdom? Is that good?
Actually, Bunny Kingdom is pretty cool. It's made actually by Richard Garfield, who made Magic the Gathering.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, he's busy over there with that artifact thing for Valve now, but didn't know he was doing stuff before that.
Yeah, and KeyForge just that's all the rage right now from Fantasy Flight Games. Maybe we'll get into the next one. I'll talk about that. When I was sending in the different segments, I talked about KeyForge, but we can talk about it more in person the next time. But yeah, Bunny Kingdom's cool because you're trying to bring out all your bunnies onto the board, and you're drafting different cards and trying to make different sections of the board. It's area control. So you're trying to get your bunnies out to certain areas to take control of them. A little cutthroat, which is good. It's not overly cutthroat, but it's actually a lot of fun and pretty easy to get into. It's not overly complex, but it looks a little more complex than it actually is.
Richard Garfield making it happen. That's awesome.
It's very cool.
Yeah. He's getting huge money right now from Valve, I assume. He's going to be fine. You may never met.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure his mansion is paid for by his Magic the Gathering royalties as
well. That alone, right? That alone exactly has to pay for everything. Well, this is fantastic. These are all good choices and ideas. If you want to follow Dan for more recommendations, of course, Geek Jock Blog on Twitter. Dan, anything else we should mention?
Out a show just a couple of days ago, and you guys may like this too. We just put out a show where we talked about PAX U, but we also did a Christmas movie draft.
Oh.
Where we do like 4 guys. We just do 4 rounds of a Christmas movie draft. Now, what would you be? So let me ask you guys this before I go. What's your favorite Christmas movie, and what's your least favorite Christmas movie of popular ones?
Oh, geez.
Ooh. All right. Well,
you can't believe how divisive Christmas movies can be.
Favorite's easy. Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie, and anybody who says it's not a Christmas movie, even Bruce Willis, what does he know? I'll fight them.
Wait, Bruce Willis says it's not? Did he say that?
Yeah, he did at the beginning of his roast, his Comedy Central roast. He says, "By the way, come to Los Angeles, we'll have a laugh." He says, "Die Hard is not a Christmas movie."
Oh, geez.
I agree with you. Knows. I think it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
it's
I do too. Screw what the main actor says in that movie. Right. All right, so that's your favorite. What's your least, Brian?
You talk about your favorite while I try and think of my least favorite.
Okay. Well, we might be watching it for Film Sack tonight.
oh, good point. Actually, yeah. Well, it's hard to... Yeah, I don't know if that's considered a popular one.
No.
Santa Claus Conquers the
Martians.
It's
popularly bad, yeah. It's
supposed right, to be well, that's yeah. That wouldn't be one that like people would actually like, but you say is horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I had to pick my favorite... Oh, man. I don't know. If you ask me different times in my life, I have a different answer for this. But I really like Love Actually. Now,
good movie.
It's not entirely Christmassy, but there's huge chunks of it that are.
It's absolutely.
It's a Christmas movie. Yeah, it was actually picked as the last pick in the whole draft, but by a gentleman.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going with that then.
Yeah, I mean every storyline of the six intertwined storylines. Takes place or like has a Christmas element to it. Even the guy who falls in love with his best friend's new wife.
Yeah. Now my least favorite. That's the easy one.
Oh really?
Scrooged. Okay. I don't like Scrooged.
Oh yeah, that's right. You hate Scrooged.
I hate it. I think it's a bad film. I think it's a poorly made movie with people I love in it. I love Bill Murray. I can always go for some Bill Murray. I think that movie and people who yell at me about this haven't watched it in a while. That shit does not, excuse me, that stuff does not hold up. Hold on.
I need to.
Does not hold up, man.
You're not going to put a little love in your heart?
No. All right, Brian, worst.
I remember hating Jingle All the Way. I'm like looking through a list of Christmas movies.
So I'll ask you too, where do you fit on these two? These are two movies I picked that I didn't realize the amount of hatred there is in the world.
All right.
So where are you on The Polar Express?
Never saw it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole thing.
People don't like it. It has that uncanny valley a bit because it's a little bit early in the whole mocap era.
Yeah.
And the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Oh, I really don't like the Grinch either.
Oh yeah, that's.
I didn't realize that many people hated that one.
Yeah.
That one I think I like even less than Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, I love the animated one. I don't know about this new one. I haven't seen it, but the animated Chuck Jones 1970 whatever version of the Grinch is amazing and is an all time classic.
Right.
But the movie with Jim Carrey is it's two things. One of my least favorite Christmas movies and my least favorite Ron Howard movie, like by a long shot. I hate it.
I love the songs in it and the girl's so cute. It's a happy ending. So it kind of has that, like leaves you with a good feeling is why I kind of enjoy that one. But it was also one of my last picks in there.
What I heard there is that Dan is hot for a Whoville person. That's what I heard.
Cindy Lou Who. I heard it.
That's
heard
part
it
of the that's part of the indoor sports. I have my wife dressed up as a Who.
Why are you taking Christmas, Dan?
Yes.
He's just Jim. You know what it is? It's just Jim Carrey just is fine. I like Jim Carrey.
It wasn't Dan's heart that grew three sizes that day.
Yeah. I don't like any of those Tim Allen movies either. I don't like Jingle All the Way. There's like plenty of movies.
Oh, you don't like the Santa Claus?
No.
Oh,
they're
like,
kind of.
Like the
that's
Santa
a sweet movie. That's actually. The first
like
one is
the,
really. The third one is horrendous.
That Vince Vaughn one was pretty good too. The Fred Christmas. I mean, funny for like a. For what it is.
But it has that sentiment. It has that good sentiment at the end where he learns about the spirit of Christmas and becomes, a better brother.
Oh, so Dan.
That's kind of the cool thing.
Dan, I have good news for you, buddy. There's a whole channel dedicated to this feel-good stuff. You should dive right into the Hallmark channel.
Oh, I can't deal with the Hallmark stuff. After about 2 seconds, you're like, it's going to happen like this and this. I just can't sit through it this long.
I don't like it either. All right. Well, so what's on the – what are the big hot getters for your draft? Like, what's going to win there, do you think?
So my co-host, Chris, he's going to end up – looks like he's going to win it because we do a little – we vote on – you can go to thegeekallstars.com. And you can see where to go to vote for them. So my co-host is gonna—he ended up getting a fourth pick, but our third, or the gentleman actually, the designer of Santa's Workshop was in our draft. Mm. He actually went with the Die Hard, Trading Places, Gremlins, and Miracle on 34th Street just happened to fall to him in the second round. So he went with all the obscure Christmas is yet it's a Christmas movie, like Trading Places and Gremlins.
Yeah,
kind of Christmassy.
Trading Places is great for Christmas.
Oh, I mean, great movie. But my co-host got A Christmas Story, Elf, Muppet Christmas Carol, and White Christmas.
Muppet Christmas Carol. I take it all back. That's my favorite. I forgot.
It's so good.
I forgot. That's my favorite Christmas movie. What am I even thinking? I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite Muppet thing ever.
I got everything that Johnson hates. I got It's a Wonderful Life, Polar Express, Santa Claus, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I don't mind
who ended up with a nightmare before Christmas?
Yeah, who's got
the actually
got
that fell. Nobody actually picked. That's probably what I should have picked instead of The Grinch Stole Christmas. Yeah. It actually was kind of, you know, you just never know where people are with kind of with the animation, or is it, you know, that kind of really funky Christmas, you know, but The Nightmare Before Christmas, I think it was more of an afterthought to me. Like I probably at that time just forgot about it.
Plus it straddles, you know, it's Halloween and Christmas. You kind of go either way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it sits fine for either one. Well, that's fascinating. People should check it out. GeekJockBlog.com.
Of course.
Oh, that movie's great. I'm going to watch that in a couple days and that'll be fun. There's some supernatural things that happen in that movie that bug me every time. But other than that, I love Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Yep. At Geek Jock Blog, and check out the Geek All Stars podcast. And we'll see you, boys.
See you, Dan. Bye now. Next time I'm in a pharmacy, I'll think of you.
Yeah, those are the ones, the go tos for me every year. Elf, Die Hard, Love
Elf's
Actually.
Great. Elf is good.
Christmas Vacation.
People poo poo on Elf, but I think Elf's great.
I think it is. Yeah, I mean, it's 100% Will Ferrell.
Yeah. He's really good.
And Zoe Deschanel in the worst blonde.
Oh, my gosh.
Wig, or hopefully it's a wig.
Well, you know who's good in that is
James Caan.
I like James Caan in it. He just plays himself. Oh yeah, Peter Dinklage is in it. I forgot. No, old comedian. He used to have a show, very popular show. Bob Newhart. He plays the elf, or the dad elf, basically.
The dad elf, yeah.
The adopted elf, or adopted dad elf. I love his part in that. I think it's really good and understated.
He is great, yeah.
Anyway, it's going to do it for the show. We were going to do Twitter questions, but I have to rush downtown in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got to go deal with your fleur.
I got the floor. We got the thing at the U. We just too much going on. I need a break. I don't know when to get one. But one day it'll happen. Let's do this instead. Let's remind people they can support this show at patreon.com/frogpants. Nope, that's wrong. Patreon.com/TMS. That's what it is. Frogpants.com/TMS. That's where you can find that link and a whole bunch of others. So go do it. We appreciate your support, especially during these holiday seasons that we're having right now. And now, the 20 pounds lighter Brian Ibbett will give us a song of exiting proportion, please.
Darn right. Haley wrote in and said, on Saturday, December 8th, I will be marrying the nerd of my dreams. Oh. Our mutual love of video games has led us to use our favorite game music during our ceremony. Our first dance will be to the Inkspots version of I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire. If you have a cover of this or any other song from Fallout 3 or 4, we would be eternally grateful. Pants, I'm so ready to be your co-op companion for life. I love you to the restaurant at the end of the universe and back. Mm. Pants is fiance's nickname.
Oh,
so.
All right. Got it.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I don't want to set the world on fire. Yeah, for the longest time, by the way, I attributed this to the Inkspots. I always thought it was an Inkspots original. No, they actually covered it. Harlan Leonard was the first one to perform it, but the Inkspots absolutely had the biggest, most popular version of the song. The version you're going to hear, we're really lounging it up, and I'm loving this because as people who listen to Coverville will attest, one of my favorite styles of music is female vocals and bass guitar.
Mm.
And boy, oh boy, does this version have some awesome female vocals and some awesome upright bass. This is a Chicago band called Petra's Recession 7.
All right.
And this was recorded live in Chicago back in 2012. It is Petra's cover of I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire.
Oh, fantastic. It reminds me of Fallout. And also, we'll be back on Monday, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Monday. Yeah.
Monday's normal. Everything's normal. So come back next week. Hang out with us again for more TMS. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I think it was because I was entering pubertance.